What's up? Welcome back. Thank you, Andrew WK, for that awesome announcement. Yes, you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
We get wet.
Exactly. It's been a long time. It's been a whole entire week. I hope you had an awesome time. It's been a long time since Andrew WK.
Yeah, what's he up to? I see him on these, like, promos for Cartoon Network. I don't even remember the name of the show that he's promoting, but I always see him, like, you know, with his white shirt and white jeans and, like, his face in the camera and being like, Cartoon Network! I don't even know what he's promoting, but I'm like, that's Andrew WK, and it's pretty cool to, like, see him still around.
Andrew WK is also a good example of today, in general, of, like, there's a certain type of, there's a certain type of artist or musician out there who's one ultra serious and one ultra serious about having fun. And I always find, like, even our work, that's what we sort of lie in between.
Is
that Andrew WK
that
world?
If we were musicians, we would probably be Andrew WK. Like, we are like the Andrew WK of comics world. I really firmly believe that. Because, like, so many people, even, like, really professional industry people have given me, and I like to think of it as a compliment. They're like, you guys have so much fun.
You have so much fun. It's like, man, is no one else having fun?
Yeah, and that's what it makes me feel like. I'm like, so are you not? You know, like, at first, when I first heard it, at first I was like, oh, is that, like, a dig? Because, like, I don't know why I interpreted it like this, but it could be interpreted as, like, oh, well, like, you're not taking it seriously enough. You're just having fun.
You're not hardcore enough, Carolyn.
Like, that type of thing. You know that type of thinking? And so, like, I was like, wait, do they mean it like that? But then I started thinking about it, and I feel like it is a genuine compliment. Like, hey, we're making comics and we're having fun. Like,
exactly.
That type of thing.
Just before we get into it, do we have any other upcoming tour dates?
Yes. Like, we, as a matter of fact, do. This coming weekend, we are going to be at Baltimore Comic Con.
Baltimore Comic Con.
Saturday and Sunday.
At Baltimore.
Baltimore, Maryland.
What's the date we were talking about earlier. What's the date
crabs,
for people who don't know?
Crabs and Comics. It is August 19th and 20th, I believe. It's this coming Saturday and Sunday, all weekend long. And we are located in Artist Alley at table 211.
Yes.
I memorized that off the top of my head. You want to know what makes me memorize that?
What's that?
We're in the year 2011.
Yes.
And our table is 211. So that is how you can memorize as well. So, Girls Studio at Artist Alley, table 211. That is us.
I feel like people, they're not going to be able to miss us at this show.
You can't miss us,
man. You just can't miss us.
Just think of 2011 and then think of 211.
And also, you're going to see, you're going to see the blue colors that we always fly. You're going to see the Curl Studio banner with the striped green and blue as well. You're going to see us.
And we're also going to have the Black Magic Tales banner and the Legettes banner.
Yeah, so, you know.
Or as Jason Mewes likes to call it, the Legettes.
Legettes.
It's all good.
Legettes indeed. I'm looking forward to this show. It seems like it's going to be a huge convention coming up. You know, those guys always treat us right, and it's always seems like a very fun and family-friendly show. Making smiles
also,
on people's
doing
faces.
They're doing the third annual costume contest.
Oh, there's a costume contest again?
Yeah, and it's the prize is $1,000. That's like legit prize money right there.
Yeah.
That's like I should get dressed up, man.
Baltimore like, Convention Center, you can't really miss it either. This is the Baltimore show. I feel like it signifies like the end of the summer, but I thought in the beginning of like the next quarter.
Yeah,
you know?
It was interesting the weather today since you're bringing up the end of the summer. Did you feel like the weather today was like the beginning of fall? I felt like today made a change in the weather.
I did. I think when I had a meeting today and I was just looking around and sort of just like sensing the
you
thing.
There was
something in the air that sort of reminded me of the beginning of school. You know, like you have you like
you gotta sharpen your pencils.
Like there's like a freshness of like, oh man, something, you know, like a new, you know, you can feel that sort of turn that's happening.
Did you ever have to like go get school supplies? Obviously, I'm guessing you did, but did your parents ever go out and like take you and get composition notebooks and like pencil holder case and stuff like that?
Pencil holder cases?
Yeah.
Or
like do you ever remember like going out to like Staples or Walmart or something and just going through the back to school aisle?
I do remember that. specifically, like when I was younger in elementary school, that was something that like rang true.
Did you look forward to that? How was your experiences with that? Back to school shopping?
Back to school shopping was always sort of a weird situation, I feel like.
Why?
Not because like now it's like a reboot, you know, and there's this unexpectedness. You don't really know what's going to happen in the world. You know what I mean? And you're getting like the new clothing. You get the back to school clothes.
So you actually got new clothing with this too.
Yeah, sometimes I got new clothes. I think majority, you know, you always got like those new shirts. You know, you always
want
to show
off. See, I don't remember
off.
Like going back to school clothing shopping. It was more about getting like pencils and a notebook or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever specifically going out to get clothes specifically for like the first day of school. I mean, I definitely went clothing shopping with my parents, you know, but it wasn't like, let's go back to school, like clothing shopping.
And like, I really don't even remember what the new clothes were because I always end up just wearing like the comic book shirts, you know, and the elements like
so
that.
So where did you buy those?
What, the comic book
at
shirts?
At the mall?
Comic book shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, like over during the time in high school, like Another Universe, like the comic book store was there. And of course,
you're
you
like,
can always,
this is my go-to place, man.
It literally was my go-to place. Like you
one
can buy like
shop.
The, you know, like before Hot Topic had all those shirts, Another Hot Universe Topic. had those shirts, like the comic book, the graffiti shirts, like the Mad. You can buy the Mad Men shirt, not the Mad Men, but Mad Man, Mike Allred's Mad Man shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at the Daredevil stuff. You know, like all those cool, the Inhumans, like you know, the Sandman. I bought all my shirts there. Those are like the places that I definitely like shopped.
Did they have back to school stuff there, like pencils and? Notepads and stuff.
No, they didn't have. I just bought. You know,
see, I remember they always used to be like cool notepads with cartoon characters on it, and like Lisa Frank. You probably don't. Do you remember Lisa Frank designs?
Lisa Frank designs.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember that.
It's kind of like the equivalent of like that other Frank that's out now that does the monkeys. What's
oh, really?
That one called? Do you remember?
David Frank? Not David Frank. David Frank's the guy from Power Rangers.
But do you know what I'm talking about with the monkeys? And now he has, like, cell phone cases and stuff? Paul Frank.
Yeah, Paul Frank?
Yeah, Paul Frank. I wonder if they're related. But there used to be this thing called, I believe it was called Lisa Frank. And it was, like, basically, like, unicorns and hearts and, like, panda bears and stuff. But her stuff has a lot of gradient in it. And, like, purple and pink. And I actually want to research her. I guess after this radio show, I'll do it. But anyway, but I remember her being really popular, and I always wanted to get, like, her, like, binders and stuff.
Did you ever get them?
I think I might have owned one in my lifetime, but my parents were like, let's get the economy pack. You get five, like, regular colored, like, binders in here. You know, like,
these,
you know,
like
you get...
Four-star? What was it called? Like, the four-star binders?
The economy pack, meaning, like, you get maybe, like, a pack of, like, four or five binders that are all, like, generic, like, whatever color.
It said these crazy designed, glossy...
It didn't have anything crazy about it. But you know what I'm talking about? Like they just wanted, like, you know, you get more for your money. Like, for example, if you were to get a Lisa Frank, like, Trapper Keeper, that would cost, like, I don't know, a lot, like maybe $8.
Yeah.
And then if I was to get like five regular colored binders, you could get that for like $4.
Yeah.
My parents were like, you can get 10 binders for the cost of one Lisa Frank binder. You know, like stuff like that. So I never, but I do remember having like one of the spiral bound notebooks that had Lisa Frank on it. And I remember I had a stationery set that had a panda bear with a heart on it from her. And it had like stickers with it and everything.
Let me ask you this though. Did all these things really matter at the end of the day?
Like, looking back on it now, it probably didn't matter if you had, like, a regular, like, blue binder versus a Lisa Frank binder. But at that time, like, you want to be cool and stuff in fifth grade. And you're like, I need to have Lisa Frank stuff. And it has hearts and pandas on it and stuff.
It's funny when you see that sort of change. Because I remember, like, in high school, before going to each grade. Because I feel like, you know, when you're in high school, you have these little breaks that... Almost like a giant commercial break that there's a time where you can reboot your personality for the next up and coming year. You know what I mean? I always felt like you have that break in the summer and you have that break in the winter. Like you have your winter break. Like basically what I find is like what I'm trying to say is like those are the moments where basically it's like, oh man, I haven't seen this person in like three months. You know, a lot of times people be like, oh my God, they grew boobs over the summer. We're like, oh, you know, you know, like there's those changes that like, it's been a while. So people can like reinvent them.
See you next year. Have a good summer.
Like they can like reinvent themselves. I feel like that's what it was always so crazy about like the summertime. I remember that's what I always thought, like, oh, if you get new clothes, people, you know, maybe you'll be part of the popular crowd now, or maybe you'll be a little bit smarter.
Was that your goal, to be a part of the popular club? Did you ever have that as a goal? Or as, like, just something you had inspired to be when you saw the popular kids?
I mean, in the beginning, like, of the first, like, maybe, like, in 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'm all like, wow, there's... They go to all the parties. I never get included in any of that stuff. And I was always wondering why they didn't get included. But then what happened was, like, I just started...
They're like, your graffiti shirts are no good for us.
Yeah, I guess I was always known as something. Like, oh, yeah, he wears the flannel and he has the comic book shirts and stuff like that.
I remember you always had the death shirt.
That was distinctively my look, I believe, for, like, until, like, 11th grade, was literally a flannel, comic book shirt, and jeans and long hair. That was distinctively
so
my look.
You basically look like Kevin Smith.
I basically look like Raven, like the Raven. Professional wrestler Raven. Before
didn't you have like a
that.
Green flannel?
I did have a green flannel. It was
so
warm.
Was that your go-to flannel?
I mean, later on, that became.
You
like
also had a blue one and a red one.
Yeah, I was hardcore on flannels, and that's why it always made me mad. Like, it didn't make me mad, but made me like later on, like even now. In today's day and age, people are all wearing flannels. All these hipsters and shit are wearing flannels all over the place.
Murder them.
And I was just like, you know, maybe, but literally to me, I was already stuck like in the early 90s.
So
because
you,
I was like
so,
the grunge,
so that means
right?
that you were like popular before your time.
I wasn't, like, there are certain things, I'm not going to lie to you, that I felt like I jumped, there are certain clothing elements that I felt like I did not jump on the bandwagon, but I was one of the front runners. And I'll always bring this back to say, like, cargo pants... I felt like I was like one year I just started wearing cargo pants and
did
no one
ever,
else was wearing. I swear to God,
wear,
I swear to God,
George?
I swear to God, no one else was wearing cargo pants. Probably like when I was in 9th, probably when I was in 10th grade, no one wore cargo pants. The fucking 11th grade,
what
everyone
they,
and their mother
were
wearing cargo pants.
What were they wearing when they weren't wearing cargo pants?
They were wearing some, you know, some
jeans?
Normal boring ass jeans. Like, and also
did,
they were like,
or were
tight.
They wearing khakis?
I really can't, like, maybe they're wearing JNCOs. I don't know, like, that, you know?
Did you ever wear jorts?
I think probably those are the only shorts I had. What else is there?
I don't know. I never see your legs.
Well, I still don't wear anything resembling that. When I did wear shorts, I did wear longer shorts. You know what I mean? Like they were, like, longer. Because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, because I was still wearing longer.
What are
longer,
your thoughts on jorts?
My thoughts, they're fine. It's all based on style. But, like, I feel like, what's the style? Because I always wear, like, a longer shirt with a comic book character on it. And I'm like, I can't wear, like, short shorts of that or else it'll look like I'm not wearing anything.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, sort of balance that out.
I don't think I've ever seen you with, like, regular style shorts. Meaning, like, above the knee.
Because
who, knee or above.
Who? I'm not John Cena. Can it wear that?
Those what about just, wearing the tighty whitey like CM Punk style wrestling?
What to normal day?
No, not normal day. But if you like, you know, if you were a wrestler,
I don't think
that style would suit you.
It all depends on like my shape. You know what I mean? It's really like you have to have a certain.
I think you
shape.
Would be best with the Matt Hardy pants.
But also, you get taken more seriously if you do wear sort of like the shorter trunks.
Yeah.
But see, like this is what I'm trying to say is that how, you just brought up like an amazing point about how clothing does. You know, it modifies the way people look at you. So, like, for me, I guess, you know, I wasn't hiding the fact that I read comics. You know, I read them hardcore. Like, I had all types. I've had all types of... I don't even wear them anymore, but I still have a lot of comic book shirts from Spawn, from even the Men in Black cartoon or a movie. Even, like, I had, even Jay and Silent Bob. Like, several Jay and Silent Bob shirts. This is before everyone blew up on Jay and Silent Bob. When I first found out about that from reading Another Universe and buying all the shirts over there. You know what I mean? Like, all types, even, like, Batman shirts. Even Batman movie shirts. I had a whole hell of a...
So do you still have all these shirts?
I think I still have them.
Like, you have them in your archives.
Yeah, I have
them
in my archives. Even then, later on, I started integrating, like, wrestling shirts. You know, I just felt like
are you gonna open up a museum to yourself?
I should not. I don't think I should open up a museum to myself.
Be like, these are all my clothing from high school.
But back in the day, like, you know, I wore those shirts pretty proud. I mean, but it just came to a point, like, after a while, I was like, I can't. I didn't stop wearing them, but I stopped wearing certain types. It's like there came a certain point where you know how you have like that Vince Gill shirt that's just like his big, like it's a
big
shirt.
Face.
It's big
face. It's not just one. I have probably like 8 of them.
But like it came to a certain point where like I was like, ah, I can't really wear this
and
shirt.
They're all like larges too. I don't know why I had this thing in high school about wearing large shirts.
I don't know. That was your thing, I guess.
I don't know what the deal is, because, like...
Maybe you were ashamed.
I don't know. Maybe I was trying to hide the boobies or something. You're I have
like,
no
my
idea.
My boobies are too big.
Gotta hide them. I don't know. Like, I have no idea why all my shirts from back then are, like, super huge. It's pretty funny, though. But see, so, back to, like, what I was saying about, like, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. What attempts did you do to, like... get included in the popular group, because well, like
I
you feel, know
I don't know if I really did like hardcore attempts, but like the situation presented itself like so you know, because like probably up until ninth grade I took the bus, and coincidentally like there was a meshing of personality types on the bus. There was sort of like you had our outsiders. I mean, we had Bovee. Even James rode the bus. This is really what it came. This
you
is,
all had the same bus together.
Yeah, because James just lived up the street from me. And then Mike Bovee, you know, we're all like in the same area. Even Jay, I mean, because that's why it all worked. Like it was easy for me, James. It was like me, James, Mike, even Jason Seipel. We took that. But also our same bus ran in with like the, I guess, really what it came down to was popular kids coincidentally also happen to be super rich kids. Surprise.
Do you think it's like that in every high school?
I think it's like that in life, actually. Somehow, if you have money, you're completely popular. But hold on. But to continue that, so our bus line also went and picked up the rich kids who happen to also be popular. And I guess they would be like even the Ryan Jones, the Matt McGinleys, and Sham, you know, like in those kids. So you have that mix of like you have us and then you have them. So it wasn't more or less trying to be friends with them, but you're already mixing and you're so I don't think it was me wanting to be with them. It just happened to be they know you.
They're
you know
on
what
the
I mean?
Same bus as you.
You're on the same bus. It's not like, oh, we never get to see these kids. We see them every single day. You know what I mean? And then I think really what happened is it's not for me. It wasn't the hallways that started the popularity or the status segregation, but it was the bus that started the segregation. Because I remember specifically.
So did the popular kids get to sit in the back?
I mean, everyone wanted to sit in that
area.
See,
I think it's funny because every bus I've ever ridden on, always the popular kids wanted to have that little back area.
Yeah, that one last seat, the half
yeah,
seat.
The last seat. Yeah, that half and seat I always think there. that's funny because it's like back in the day when there really was segregation, the blacks had to sit up front.
Yeah, and that's sometimes the quieter people
isn't that,
sat
isn't
up front.
Isn't that how it was? Or did they have to sit in the... No, they had to sit in the back.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so yeah, this, okay. I stand corrected. So the black people back in the day had to sit in the back of the bus. So they were actually sitting in the popular area. If you want to be technical,
but see what happens.
But I think that the white people maybe wanted the convenience back in the day to like only have to walk a couple steps and sit in the front seats.
Yeah, but see, you know, being in the back, you know, and also being popular in our school was also sort of like it coincided with also like people who get in trouble and do bad things. You know what I mean? They also happen to be popular people. You know. Because they can get away with stuff like that, and also being in the back seat, you can do trouble and do crazy stuff, I guess. And what's the bus lady gonna do? Yell from all the way over there?
Well, they do.
Yeah, they definitely do. But what I'm saying, I mean, like I think that's really, you know, of course, when you first go in there, when you first go into high school, you always, I guess, want to be like popular. Everyone wants to know you. But I think what happened for me is I started to realize what I wanted. You know what I mean? And I started having my own group of core friends there during that. And during ninth grade, then when we all started learning to drive, we eventually just stopped riding the bus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what happens. And then, but also for one thing, those popular kids or those rich kids also, they're also the ones who first stopped riding the bus because they can already have people with cars and stuff like that.
They got the cars
like
first.
Yeah. So they're already off
the
bus.
They got like those were the type of kids that literally got the car with a bow on it.
Yeah, literally.
Literally, because one of the girls that lives like across but diagonal from my house, she, I guess what was her 16th birthday or something. Like yeah. I literally remember like looking, just walking by that, walking around the house, looking out the window, and I seriously saw a bright shiny new car with a bow on it.
Yeah.
Like a giant bow. I was like, damn. Must be someone's birthday now, you know? Yeah. But, I mean,
but see,
that's
like,
fine.
Like, you know, deconstructing what popularity really meant, I guess, in high school, because it's not really... Because the key word popular means, I guess, everyone likes you, right?
But is that necessarily true?
Let's take this in the steps. Popular means what? Everyone loves you, right? They like you, right?
I wouldn't agree with that.
I'm saying, what
does
the word...
you're asking me a question.
I know, but we're trying to define what does the word popular mean.
Yeah, and I'm giving my response.
Like, as in pop music, as in everyone's buying it, right?
I think that the definition of popular means that everyone knows what it is. It's not necessarily that everyone likes it. It's that it's reached the mainstream level of, like, everyone knows who that person is.
Well, popular is, you know, again, the word popular means everyone loves you, right? So... When I go and start to deconstruct that even more, I never really thought that's really what defined what they were, that core group. They weren't popular, as if they were just well known. And also for a second fact is, I don't even think they were well known. Like, I don't even know, like, I'm thinking about it now, and I think this was just some giant anomaly that happened possibly in my brain. That I think this is all
you
just...
You made it up in your
this
head.
Was, no, like, I literally... And probably this is what happens with everyone else, because there are other people. I felt like there was other breaks in the pack that other people were experiencing that they thought other people were popular. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's other, like one person might have looked at me and be like, oh, Joe's popular because he's hanging out with Bovi and you know, with our own cycle. Or yeah. There's other people, like there's some Spanish kids where they see people, you know, like there's like, oh, they must be really popular. And at the end of the day, there was no real giant like head of state popular people. And that bullshit Chad Quinville thing, I don't even know that was a fucking another anomaly. You know what I mean? It's like how that was like by default. That was equivalent to what was his name? But Jesse the Body being like mayor or whatever he was. You know? It's like they all canceled each other out and that was like the last remaining survivor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I feel like that was. But I don't think in our group that there really was like this super well known. I think it was broken up into so many people because even had those that girl Sarah Scavangeli, you know, was she popular? But she was well known.
She was well known,
but did everyone like her?
Know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
She might have been the one people that actually didn't like that people actually liked. You know,
I think that she had a positive view,
but there wasn't
never had any classes with her. So, but I knew of her because she used to come by the locker area,
and like I feel like at this point I can look back on it now and be like, well, there are certain aspects. There's people that everyone knew, but also at the end of the day, probably at the end of the like even junior year, everyone pretty much knew everybody, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like
our school was like so huge too.
Yeah. So there's no, and then also I feel like at this point there were people in the grade below us that were more popular. You know what I mean? They say like they were more well known. It was just weird. But I think this is still just this anomaly, this new galaxy that's created in our own mind of who is actually more popular than who. Everyone had their own cliques and their own circles.
See, but I also think that with the richer kids, I feel like they got more well-known because of the things that they owned for some reason back at that age.
And also
you know,
they're
like
throwing
parties. Whenever you hear about like, oh, look at this person's new car, and then they like drive up in it, and it's like, dang, dude, that's like, that car's like both of my parents' cars combined times more. You know, like, it's like, and then... Or like, I don't know, you and they would always, like, there was a few girls that I did notice that, like, seriously, when you're looking around at people's outfits, it really kind of felt like they must have had this, like, endless closet, you know? Because a few of them, I mean, not like I was checking them all the time, but it just felt like their outfits were different every single day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were wearing the same shirt, you know, maybe once every 3 weeks, like, maybe normal people would. You know, like, you know, every so often you'd see your friends or see people you're like wearing like the same shirt, you know, maybe twice a month or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe two or three times a month. But there's some people that like I never saw them wear the same outfit twice, it felt like.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was in my head too. But who knows? Maybe they were just good at like styling their clothes differently. I have no idea.
What, like, to me, like, the point I'm trying to prove is I feel like these statuses that we build, like these pedestals that we control, are majority, I think, in our own heads. That, like, I feel like there's a lot of times where we're seeing things as a reactionary thought of what we are feeling. You know what I mean? That something that we want to do, and we see someone else that looks the complete opposite, or we see someone that we feel like that we want to be, and they're like, oh man, everyone must, you know, then you build an idea around them.
I think
them.
Like for the first year of driving, the whole car thing was like that, especially.
Yeah.
You know, like around the age 16 area.
And that's something that happened too, is like now instead of the bus being like a place where now you're broken off in the statuses, now you have the parking area where people hang out. Like there's all those areas like near art school where, you go down a certain and you see everyone leaving and then you see the cliques and stuff like that of how they really are. And then it's just straight up West Side Story up in that joint.
See, but I don't think you ever paid for a parking spot. I didn't.
No.
I was like, screw that bullshit.
No, I didn't pay for a parking spot, but I'm talking about the outside.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, you know, you see all, like, the people that paid for parking spot. I was like, screw that bullshit. You know, like...
I mean, those are crucial parking spots.
I guess, but I never wanted to do that.
Because, like, if you didn't... That's actually one of the reasons why. It's sort of crazy to think of this. It's like, I used to wake up, you know, in high school and stay and like wake up early or wake up at a certain time to reach the bus. But then when we started driving, we actually started going to school like earlier. When the school was basically dead. It's sort of weird. It's like, oh,
it's
man,
kind of messed up.
It's sort of like, it's sort of like, wow, I could have just, you know, waited and arrived at school. But then at the same time, I feel like
it makes you feel more like an adult though. Cause you're like, hey, I'm taking care of myself and I'm driving to school.
Yeah, like,
it's not like you have to wait on the bus.
And also we get that crucial, what it was all about. You get that crucial, crucial parking spot. You know what I mean? Because or else you'd be parking so far away and you have to cross like the main road and stuff like that. But also when we arrived, we were there like early when no one was in. You know, you have like this sort of 30 minute to 20 minute span in the school where basically it's empty and you had it all to yourself. And I felt like that's what we did, like with Danny, Huzzer and us and all of them. We were there early and we were just, you know, when I would walk in, Danny's already sitting in his locker like in the main hallway and there's no one there. And it's such a badass feeling to be like, oh shit, we own this joint now. You know what I mean? And that's such a great, that I thought was such a cool feeling. You know, I like later on, we took that to the next level and we basically took our own entire hallway and claimed it of us, Dudleyville. You know, that took it to that level. I think that was the main thing. I feel like I was very lucky to have the friends that I had that really didn't give a fuck about. Really, I don't know. Just I assume that other groups did, but I you know, it's my friends, and that's really what you should be proud of.
Was there a moment though where you were like really like f this like status stuff? Like, remember a specific moment? It was ninth grade.
It was eighth to ninth grade because also for somehow I became like or seventh grade. Somehow became friends with a ninth grader who was into comics. Like he saw I was into comics. Like this was like during the Image comic boom. Like, when you're like in the indies, like Spawn and Tank Girl and stuff, all that was coming out. And then I was rocking like a Tank Girl shirt. And then some guy who wore a top hat, who was also sort of goth at that time, like he was a freshman, like saw me. He was like, oh yeah, Tank Girl, hey man, come hang out with this for a few. So like I was exposed to like, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, he must be like super popular like in ninth grade because I've never been friends with that. And he was hanging out with like these hot ass like goth girl chicks. And I was like, that was my experience. Like, holy crap, man, these girls actually have boobs. This is amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And like to me, that was amazing. I'm trying to think of what my thought process was. But that experience like sort of opened my eyes towards, there's different levels of everything. Because I sort of skipped like a whole grade while still being friends with the people I'm not even sure who I was friends with in seventh grade. I think I was more like a loner at that time, as I was all years. But I mean, like, it was at that point where, you know, you sort of just start to find what your identity was. And like at that point I was like, yeah man, I freaking like comics. We all went to see the comic book movies at that time. It was just Tank Girl and whatever was coming out at that time. I felt like, to me, indie comics at that point had that cool like dark underground, but not like the sort of the hipsterish that it has now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When like back then, whether like really comics were like really dark and violent during that time. Now it's like really more accepted to be cheerful and stuff like that.
But at the same time, I still feel like people think that comics are pretty violent. I mean, if you go look at, like, just browse down a comic book aisle and see all the mainstream books, like, you know, I mean, I'm not like against guns or anything, but there's like violent covers out there. Like, what was that one book that you had that was wrapped in plastic that had like all the heads?
Oh, Crossed?
Yeah.
That's amazing, like the row of books that I bought at that time with Crossed and all that.
Yeah, like that's pretty crazy just by looking at the cover. And like, I mean, on one end, I think actually comics are so diverse. Like on one end of things, you have like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck,
yeah.
You know, like really like cartoons, like that type of stuff. And it's really bright and friendly. then you have like this really like hardcore stuff with like the Last Supper with like everybody's head blown off and crossed, you know, like, and just like, I don't know what else, we're just weird stuff.
No,
like,
but see,
that, not, I shouldn't even say weird, but just like, I don't know, stuff that's like super dark.
No, no, but like that type of book, that's actually, to me, that's a modern thing, because the books we were reading weren't like dark like that. This is like when Vertigo just came out. This is like when Death came out. The books were Death is actually a great example of a misnomer of what people thought, and what people saw the image and they thought like, oh, it's all about death. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they saw like Tank Girl was like all about, you know, like it was actually the complete opposite. This is like when Neil Gaiman was like ruler of like the underground, and everyone who's read Neil Gaiman knows that Neil Gaiman is not like, you know, Warren Ellis or, you know, like that, where it's just straight up violence and shit like that. We're working in fantasy land. These are like just characters that are taken out. That's why I tell everyone whenever I'm like, yo, you should read Death, and like, oh, it's all about death and stuff like that. Well, really, it's not. It's really all about like an existence of people trying to find themselves, and death is the character that's helping them find themselves. Death is just a character who celebrates life. Like, it's, she dresses like that with the white face paint, or the white, you know, she's all white and pale and stuff like that. The crazy, like, and you know, she's a punk rocker basically. And this is like straight up the 80s punk rocker of that time. But like the books were actually like super more positive and mature than anything, and they weren't violent. Like, to that, I felt like they weren't to like, oh, they're sure there was those image comics of like sort of like the big muscles and, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, it was definitely cool, but there's also that great, like, there's that great positive there's that great positive line of comics that was, you know, from Vertigo, that was more existential and all about like spiritual and like all these cool crazy characters. You know what I mean?
But it's such a shame that there are a certain group of people that probably won't even give Death a chance just because of the title, and like maybe they'll see an image of her and be like, oh, like it will just frighten them. They don't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, but Death is such a great
character.
But
even like, for example, like The Simpsons. I know this is silly, but like back in the day, like there was a time where there was Simpsons backlash, like the first few seasons.
Yeah.
And I remember like my brother had a Bart Simpson like underachiever shirt, and it was just basically a like straight up shot of Bart Simpson with like the little, what's it called? That Y thing with the
slingshot?
Slingshot, like in his pants pocket. And it just said Bart Simpson underachiever. Like that's all the shirt said. It didn't even have anything like horrible on it, you know. And I remember he got in huge trouble and like went to the principal's office and like had to go home or something. I don't know the full story, but basically he got in trouble for wearing that shirt. I mean, just enough to get called into principal's office for that is really lame. And now when you look back on it, because seeing how like The Simpsons is so huge, you know.
And I mean, like, and at the same time, what a powerful character Bart Simpson is. What a like revolutionary character at the same time.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, like, I almost feel like sometimes that, like, if Black Magic Tales were to get huge, you know what I mean? Like, when it does get massive, it's like, and you have little kids that are like, oh, I love Roxy and Dean. They steal and they do whatever they want. It's like, I almost have that fear of, like, that's what's going to happen. They're like, boycott them. They don't treat, you know what I mean? It's like,
but then it's almost like the people don't actually look further into the story to see, like, how they're actually good. You know, like,
yeah.
They're not bad characters. Like Bart Simpson isn't a bad character. He is like, yeah, he's a misbehaving little boy, but he's not out there like to hurt people.
And also that was
necessarily.
Like the, you know, and you gotta take into account of like the times in which we grew up in. It's like you had Married with Children, you had The Simpsons, you even had
Roseanne.
You had Roseanne, like all these amazing like characters, all these amazing like real, you know, real,
they were too gritty for certain people.
Real definitions of like a modern American family of today. It's like you can judge like a culture by their entertainment.
Well, you know, like
how you relate to them.
A year ago,
we're into gay entertainment right now because Glee is number one. You know, that's how I feel.
The Pope actually said that The Simpsons is a prime example of like a great family.
It
like,
is. They're still together.
Like he said that you know they didn't get divorced. They're still together. They've been around for like over 20 years, and they actually have a lot of like Christian messages. Even though like you know they make fun of Ned Flanders and all that, But there's a lot of good messages in some of the Simpsons episodes.
Like, here's the thing is I feel about, like, a Christian message. Like, you know, like, I pitch, like, you know, like, I was pitching myself to be a part of the writer's team for, like, that one of the shows I shot for, like, it was, and supposedly it has a Christian backing, and they're like, I don't know, Joe, can you write like a Christian show, or a Christian show with morals and stuff like that? I was like, how's that any different than just teaching?
How's that any different than Roxy and Dean?
but it's like, how's that? What is so different about that and just telling like a real good story with you know, it's all just about the characters and the texture, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's always that's always weirded me out. That's like, you know, you have POD. They're like, oh, apparently they're like a Christian band. But look at their music. You know what I mean? There's always these surprisingness. And the same with the ICP. Apparently ICP. You know what I mean? I feel like Christian like are just trying to take claim for anything that's a positive or a good message. You know what I mean? As opposed to like. There's some things that are not so heavy, and there's sometimes you have to give the medicine with the cereal or with the sugar. But I feel like everything really anyway should always have a message of something, positive. You know, there's a happy ending there somewhere. And sometimes I just feel that people just claim everything to be Christian, and that's great. I'm not against that, but at the same time,
a market for it too.
Yeah,
they're making money from it too. Like, I mean, I haven't watched much of VeggieTales, but you know, like on one end of it, it's like, yeah, that's good. It's teaching kids like about sharing and you know Christian stuff. But you know what? There's also a market for it. There's a market for Christian music too.
It's just
like,
a branding. There's
money out there to be made.
It's just a branding. But at the same time, it's like it's not any different than just quality.
Yeah.
There's no different. You know, you can call
Christian.
But
they're marketing towards those people.
But at the same time, it's like quality will go to all brands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why when they were like, oh, can you write for that type of show? I was like, how's that any different than just telling an awesome story?
Yeah.
Sure, we're not going to be burning the cross and stuff like that, but you can tell the same exact messages with these characters. You know, sure, God's there and stuff like that, but God, you know, is everywhere, whatever.
And recently I have been thinking a lot about The Simpsons, and I really...
Are they a Christian band? Are they a Christian cartoon? Probably.
I think that they are, though. That's the funny thing to me.
Here's the
because,
thing,
like, 20 years ago, I just, like, again, that thing with my brother, like, because I remember we talked about it, like, even during dinner, we're like, that's stupid. Like, and then my parents, for a while, they were like, you can't watch The Simpsons anymore. You know, and I was like, really? What? Why? You know, like, what? It's not that bad. You know, like, and then I remember also, like, one day, my brother and I were watching In Living Color, and... they were doing like a booty cam shot of the like Fly Girls.
Yeah.
And it was like I even remember watching it. It was like straight up like up her butt, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, and like my mom came in, she's like, what are you watching? And then I was like, In Living Color. She's like, what is this? And I'm like, it's a comedy show. And she's like, no, you can't watch this anymore. And I admit, if I was a mom, you know, I don't know. I'm not a mom, like, so I can't say for sure, but if, seeing like your young daughter watching some like half naked women just like pumping their ass in camera.
Pumping their ass.
That's what it was.
They're pumping their ass.
It was pretty much.
Listen, I need you to pump your ass more. Now you have the ass clap.
It was like straight up because I remember
straight up ass clapping.
Yeah, like I remember it, but I watched the show for the comedy, but it was just happened when she walked in there. They were going to commercial break or whatever, and just seeing an ass right in your face, and like.
That's part of modern dance.
Yeah.
Didn't she know that?
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't allowed to watch for a while In Living Color and The Simpsons, but it didn't last too long. Like, my parents, they told us not to watch it, but it wasn't, like, hardcore. Like, they weren't, like, super strict about it. It was more of just, like, hey, you're not allowed to watch that show. But, you know, we tried to sneak it. We also tried to sneak Married with Children, but it always felt, like, kind of uncomfortable to watch that.
Yeah.
But it was still, like, I want to watch it, but, like, it felt uncomfortable and, like, you didn't want your parents to know that you're watching it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like looking back on The Simpsons and how it was treated back then, it was such like bullshit. But then at the same time, I'm like, I'm wondering if it wasn't treated like that, would it still have like that respect now?
Absolutely not, because everyone knows that sensationalism and all that stuff brings in viewership.
Well, even like South Park now, and I don't know if the youngins, like high school kids, watch South Park, but like that show, and I enjoy South Park. I think it's like really good social commentary on things, but like that show is like. Horrible, like, you know, if you think about what they talk about and what they do. But I totally support South Park. I'm not trying to like shut down freedom of speech at all. You know, like, I'm totally for that.
There is no shutting down of freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not trying. There are certain people that are trying to shut it down. I'm just saying South Park is pretty crazy.
For me, there's the shutting down of the expansion of freedom of speech. You can say, to me, I think you can say whatever you want, but they're going to shut you down on how far it will reach. Like, tree falls in the woods type metaphor is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If no one's around, it's not going to mean anything.
But there's some things I think the media over-exaggerates.
I'm serious. That's how they control it. They control your output. You can say whatever you want, but they can shut down your output.
Okay, like the Katy Perry thing where she was on Sesame Street and, like, apparently she was running around with her boobs bouncing. And I saw the video.
And they're obviously not bouncing at all.
They weren't, like, that bad. She was wearing a sheer see-through thing up to her neck.
We'll just say it out loud. She was basically wearing...
A nice dress.
No.
Yellow dress.
No, she was basically... Well, yeah, but she was basically wearing an ice skater's outfit.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
It's just the matter that...
For Ice Princess.
It's just the matter of fact is that she has a little bit bigger boobs than most people, and people were looking at her boobs.
But she has boobs that fit her shape.
She has boobs that fit her shape. They're not, like, ginormous.
They're not misproportioned. Her boobs fit her perfectly.
Her boobs are great on her, and honestly, if no one made a big deal about it, I would not have been looking at her boobs. You know, like, I would have just watched her and Elmo sing along.
Yeah.
But instead, everyone's like, oh my God,
outraged.
I'm outraged by showing of the boobies. And I'm like, what? Like, noticed it. I honestly didn't even notice.
And when I was watching it, I was like, where are the boobies?
But also, like, how different is that outfit than, like, if you were to, like, there's some, like, actresses that come to Academy Awards even, and they have, like, their boobs all, like, totally hanging out. You know, and it is a award show. I guess, you know, they can get by with it.
It's okay when it's more national. You know what I mean?
That's okay. What I'm saying. Like, if you're a kid watching TV, like, I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school age, like watching Sesame Street, I did not look at people's boobs.
And, you know, and what's even more amazing is, like, when people see the big boobs, all that hanging out, and then high schoolers will go and wear that and they'll become popular. That's how they get them.
They're like, I'm going to dress like Katy Perry now.
Those rules, those same popularity, supposed popularity, mind-bending rules still apply in mass media.
It's just amazing to me because, like, I don't know, when was the first time you ever remembered, like, seeing boobs? Sesame Street?
The first time I remember seeing boobs was Terminator 2. No, Terminator 1.
And that's when you noticed them.
No, that's the first time I ever saw, like, flesh boobs.
But when was the first time, like, that you actually noticed someone's boobs?
Like, I'm like, look, boobs.
Like, yeah, that? Like, when you're just, like, going about your everyday life, or it doesn't have to be, like, it could be your everyday life, like, in person.
I don't know, I saw, when did Terminator 1 came out? Because that was a long time ago, that was, like, 89 or 84. So that was pretty early. So I've been infatuated with boobs ever since. Boobies!
I
mean,
like, I don't know. Boobies! Like, I always remember, like, when
boobies!
I was young, I was like,
boobies!
When I was younger, I was like, watching TV, and then, like, I'd see someone like Dolly Parton or something, and I'd be like, wow, she has big boobs, you know. Yeah. Like, but I don't know if she was the landmark for it, but, you know, I just remember, like, someone like her, you know, it's hard not to notice that. But, like, I can't remember, like, an actual thing. I do remember when I was in Girl Scouts, though, drawing, like, a princess or something.
Yeah.
And then where the boobs are, I put, like, a little line, like a cleavage line.
Uh-huh.
And I remember,
like, what's that?
I remember the girl next to me was like, ew, why'd you do that? And I'm like, why? What's wrong with it? And she's like, you drew her boobies. And it was just literally
You're not allowed.
It was seriously literally a line.
The first time you saw boobs was a Barbie then.
Probably, but I never thought anything of it. I was just like, oh, it's a woman's body. Like, I wasn't like, oh.
Woman's, I mean, I know it's against what people's thinking, but, or the modern consensus or throughout the world, that women do have boobies.
Yeah. No, I always accepted it. And even, like, maybe even as an artist, too. Like, when I was doing figure drawing classes, I mean, I guess that was more of college, but, like, I always just was like, okay, that's what a woman looks like, you know? So I just always knew that that was how someone looked. But I do distinctly remember that memory from Girl Scouts, though. Like, drawing a little princess lady and then putting in a line where her boob cleavage was. And somebody being like, ew.
Ew.
And it wasn't even like,
am I supposed to get those too?
But it wasn't even like a round, like it wasn't like I drew like this big round ball for boobies. I literally just drew a line like where her dress ended.
Could have been a rib cage.
Oh no, it was pretty much boobies. I meant it to be boobies because I do remember doing that. But I remember like, I don't know, Little Mermaid had that. She had like a little shell boobie.
But they weren't like massive offensive.
No,
boobies.
But they did have. She did have a little cleavage line.
She didn't even have any bra, so her boobs just flopping around in the water without gravity.
Yeah, but they looked better than like the normal person not wearing a bra.
I always wonder how that. Well, because you don't have like you just were. Well, I always wondered like if you were a mermaid and your boobs are just like flopping around in the water, like how they would look once you get out in the dry land.
You
do
always
they just
wondered
go,
that.
Do they go down or do they stay up? Because you know, like if you've been moving around in the water a whole lot. Like, you know, that's how people, like, train. Even cross-training are just to strengthen, and they move in water, and your muscles get stronger. I wonder when they go out into the... are they stronger when they go out into, like, the dry land?
I have no idea.
Are they bigger?
I don't think the boobs is, like, a muscle like that. Like, boobs is made out of fat. Like, if anything, you'd probably, like, lose some of the boobies.
Oh, no
losing.
You'd
be, like, more fitness,
no
you know?
Losing the boobies. Boobies are nice.
But
they
when, like,
do
you, so,
smile.
Like, your first, like, when you were watching film, you were like, oh, Terminator, and then you noticed boobs.
Well, this is, the situation goes sort of like this. So, me and my brother
What grade is this?
I forget. It was, I don't know, maybe first or second.
Really? That young? You're like, there's boobies.
No, it wasn't like that.
Well, actually, if you want to be honest, well, the first introduction of anybody's boobs is basically if they were ever breastfed.
Well, yeah, but at that point, like, who remembers that?
Do you remember being breastfed?
No.
Okay. I just want to bring up the point that the first thing that you ever even put on your mouth is a breast. Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Depending now, it might be different these days. These days, they're all scared of the breasts.
But there are still some women that want to breastfeed because, like, apparently there's some benefits to breastfeeding versus, like, some artificial milk or whatever.
Well, there's also sort of like a mom and child
offspring. Connection.
Yeah, a mom and offspring, they get that
rock
and
sock connection.
And well, the first time I ever saw breasts, boobs that I remembered like on movies or something like that was, I think it was Terminator. It might have been Terminator. I'm trying to think of, but I just remember like there was an action sequence in a movie, and then like it, and then apparently there was two people getting it on inside of like a car in a parking lot, and then like I guess the action flies by them, and then they both like spring up, and the girl's like topless. And
wow.
And then my dad was like, oh, forget you ever saw that.
and so you and your brother like
apparently
went
I
back,
did not
like, went back later and
apparently I did not
rewound
forget
that part
it.
Several times.
I don't know if I did. It was a long time ago, but apparently I did not forget that moment. But I remember he was like, take that out of your mind.
That's a funny memory.
Take that out of your mind, guys.
Forget you ever saw that.
Good times. Movies teach people everything.
Did you see Fast Times?
Fast Times?
At Ridgemont High.
No, I actually haven't seen... I never saw that until last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised by that for some reason.
Why? Does it seem like a movie that I would want to go watch?
Not necessarily, but I mean...
Remember, one of the first movies I ever remember watching, literally, was the first Batman. Batman is like in my blood. So whenever anyone challenges my credibility of Batman, I think they're still challenging me to this day of my credibility towards that character. Like, they're all like, oh, Batman Brave and the Bold. Oh, it's like a satire. It's making fun of it. I'm like, no, man, motherfucker. That's a Jim, like the, what's his name? That's a Jim Sparang inspired. And they're like, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know. You know, it's like they're
how
trying
hardcore
to,
are they?
Everyone thinks that Batman has been dark forever. I'm sorry. It's not true. But yeah, one of my very first Batman memories of a movie was the first Batman. That movie was playing on my birthday. That movie played at my birthday party, like the adult party, not the kid party. And like I remember not watching it, but I remember in my house, like all the lights were like everyone was like it was a big deal to watch like that movie in the house.
See, you know? That's what I'm scared about with the future, to be honest with you, like. Do you think that there's still going to be movie theaters around and like a premiere and stuff? Because now with all this like instant download on demand.
Well,
what is
a premiere? There's always going to be a premiere. That's a party.
There's always going to be the major premiere like in Hollywood or New York or something with all the actors and red carpet and stuff. Like they have to throw their little party to be like, hey, we worked hard on this movie. We're going to like premiere it. Right. I understand that. But as far as like general public goes, like nowadays you can download movies like... like with a click of a mouse or whatever, you know, or touch of a finger.
Tell me this: you still want to? People are still going to the theater to see plays, because what was that? Basically, what is movies as a way to get that type of experience? So
you gotta still get people out of the house. Yeah. Like, but people still want to see live acts.
You need to leave the house for something.
But I'm just like a small bit concerned about the future and just how everything is so instant download. Okay, like even CDs, for example, there used to be all these like record stores. Like nowadays, record stores, like you know that record store in by Courthouse?
Yeah.
That one closed. I just found that out recently.
Well, that's a money thing. I still think at this point you're gonna be able to watch it somewhere. You know, you're gonna be able to experience it in its own. Theaters are never gonna go away. I don't think they're gonna go away. It's gonna just get harder to find them. You know what I mean? Because also at the same time, it's amazing. It's a great experience. Probably what's gonna happen is the best ones are gonna play there. The crappy ones are just gonna go straight. The ones that need
direct
to be seen.
Direct to DVD, yeah. Or direct to your computer, yeah. Whatever.
Those are the ones.
Not even DVD.
Those are the ones that's gonna happen. You know?
I can imagine.
That's my belief. Theaters aren't going to go away, but they're just going to start being more picky about what they show at the bigger ones, because that's where the money's going to go.
Are there still going to be like little art house theaters that might show smaller stuff?
And they will be small theaters.
And they'll be little ones.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Hope to catch you all at Baltimore Comic Con this weekend.
Talk to us. Table 211.
That's
in
right.
Artist Alley.
Hope you guys enjoyed our talk. It was amazing talk. I loved it. It was the greatest talk ever. Everyone.
It was the greatest listen ever.
That's right. Hope you all enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be positive. Be excellent to each other. Have a good night and day. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios. I'm the